Hello and welcome to the Bridge City Church podcast. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to have a coffee and a chat. We hope you enjoy this week's message. See you at church.
Speaking about kids, a couple of weeks ago, I did a sermon or shared a message that was very kid orientated. If you can remember, we had a bit of fun, a bit of dancing, and it was quite a for me. I have to admit, I had a lot of fun doing that because I love kids. Always have loved kids, and been lucky enough to teach kids since pretty much almost leaving Sunday school. But sometimes those simple messages that we can do for kids can be just as much important for us. And if you remember, the title of my message was "What's in Your Hand," and we spoke about the story of the little boy who had the bread and the fish, and Jesus multiplied that. He took the lunch and was able to feed everybody, And as a great example how God can use the simple and little things in our lives and make it into bigger things. And to carry on a little bit from that, the title of my sermon is Fits Like a Glove. I've got a brother. I've got a couple, actually, but I've got a brother. And the most common saying that comes out of his mouth is, "Oh, fits like a glove." Parks his big Land Cruiser, four-wheel drive, with about that much either side, fits like a glove. Gets it through a narrow track, fits like a glove. We're packing some gear into a truck on Thursday evening, and well, what do you know, it fitted like a glove. It's just, and it's a very simple saying. But I don't know, is anyone here mad gardeners? The older I've got, the more I've gotten into gardening. I mean, it's crazy. But I remember as a kid trying to fit my hand into my dad's gloves, which are pretty much brand new, because if you're watching Dad, I'm sorry, you didn't do much gardening. But I'd try to fit my hands into my dad's gloves, but they'd never fit properly, you know? And it was so hard to get your fingers in, and you'd try to do stuff with it, but it just didn't work properly. And so there's something good about a good-fitting glove. So it fits like a glove. And I'm going to go somewhere with this, and I'm going to sidetrack just slightly for a second. I was very fortunate where I got to fly a lot over the last 10 years. And this year, not because of coronavirus, but this year I think I've flown once. And so it's quite a different feeling for me. But I love airports. I love planes. I love the whole process. Like from where you get dropped off and there's this hustle of move along, you know, get your luggage out, you know, you can't sit too long, to the point they've got a guy there making sure people don't stay too long, or prepay and put my card in and park my car on one of the levels, and the feeling of walking across the bridge. I don't know why, I just find it exciting. I love flying, and then that process of dropping off your baggage and thinking, walking up, is it too heavy? Don't fly with Jetstar. For that reason, I always get caught out with paying too much. But you know, put it on, and you put a sticker on it, and you just think, I really hope that gets there. But you put it on, and you just trust it's going to come out the plane the other side, and then the quick hustle from the check-in to the security thing, and just kind of hoping you time it well, that you don't have to wait too long, zigzagging back and forth. And then whether I wore the belt that beeps or the belt that doesn't beep. I've got a belt that doesn't beep in Adelaide, but beeps in Alice Springs in Darwin. Go figure. And then you walk in, and there's this big open space, and then you're stuck with a really important decision. Do I have a coffee? And will I make it to the other side without having to go to the toilet? So from there, I'll normally make that decision, and then we have this thing with our kids where we call it the safety wee, where if you're going to go in the car, we do a safety wee before going to Adelaide, and well, sometimes I do that too before getting on the plane. And then you're sitting there waiting for that call out, the checkout open, and you've got two strategies when getting on a plane. The strategy number one, you're standing near the gate ready to go, to get quick into the line so you can get on and start watching some movies. Or the second strategy is you sit down calmly, play it cool, wait till the line's almost all in, and you just casually walk up, real smooth and cool, give the ticket to the lady, and you didn't have to stand in line and wait because you're too cool for school, and you walk down the plane. Then you get on the plane, you say good morning to the flight attendant, you trust that there's two sane pilots in the front, and then you sit down. And then if you then watching, I don't know about you, but I'm watching how they're lugging those bags onto the plane and making sure they're doing a good job. And I won't lie, and I fly pretty regularly, I'm a pretty confident flyer, but I still look at the wings and look for cracks and make sure that they're all functioning, working fine. Am I the only one that does little things like that? Turns out I am. Okay. Parachutes. You don't have parachutes on commercial planes. That's the problem. So then you get on and you see there's like this hustle going on around the plane and a paddle guy at the front, if you've watched it from the inside, and then you take off. You're in the air, you're flying, I love looking out the window, and then you arrive in a completely new location. And it's quite amazing if you actually stop and think about how many people it takes to keep a place like that running. So think about the person waving you on, telling you to move on, through to the people. There's a concierge always near the check-in as you walk in to make sure if you're lost they can help you point you in the right direction. The checkout ticket flight lady to put the bags in, going through security, the flight attendants, the pilots, the paddle people, the luggage people, the mechanics. There's so many things that go into keeping an airport running. And out of curiosity, did you know 8 million people go through Adelaide Airport in a year? That's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. That is 22,000 people a day. That's Murray Bridge population, or more, I should say, going through Adelaide Airport in one day. That's ridiculous to think about the amount of people that processes. What about Brisbane? 23.8 million. That's not including the Gold Coast Airport. Melbourne's 37.4 million a year. And Sydney Airport is 44.4 million people go through an airport today. And I just out of curiosity, that's on average 120,000 people through a building a day. It's ridiculous. I don't know you, but I think that's amazing. And you think about the complexity and the fact that your baggage goes from one location to another. And I am going there with somewhere with this. And if you think about that process and the complexity and everything that goes into running something so complex, but also, let's be honest, on a very small location, everyone has to have their part to play. Everyone has a job to do, from the manager running it or running the different departments, from to the guy at the front, to the person at the hire car company, through to the coffee shops, to the person with handling the baggage, many people handling baggage. Everyone has a job to do. Everyone has a fit, a place in the airport. In fact, you just can't go walk around willy-nilly throughout the airport, because if you're not there doing something, you just got to be doing something. Cleaners, could you imagine that many people going through an airport like that if it didn't get cleaned? I am so thankful for the fact that they're always clean and the bathroom's always clean. I mean, that is a lot of serious traffic through to not get cleaned. So everybody is important. Everybody's... Does everyone even remember what planes are and flying is? Or is this out of context now because no one's flown for 6 months? Everyone has a job. And if something doesn't fit together, it can feel quite awkward and uncomfortable. Have you ever, do you remember that feeling the first day where you start a job or the first week and you're trying to work out what your fit is and where you slot in? It's just like there's this uncomfortableness. You know what you should be doing, but you're still learning everything. And so there's this point of, am I going to fit in? What am I supposed to do? What is my value I'm bringing? And I think that's a little bit like us in church. Now, we're in a small church here. There's bigger churches. There's the global church. Us, we're all part of something bigger than what we are here. And I think it's really, really important to think about, where do we fit? Where do we fit? Has anyone ever here struggled just to fit in at times? It's an odd feeling. It's an awkward feeling. I remember when I came from a city church, big church, to a country small church that I felt like it was a fishbowl, for the better of words, where everybody knew everybody's business. I couldn't sneak in and sneak out. If you were new, everybody knew. And for those visiting, I'm apologizing all because I know that feeling. Everybody knows everybody. But where do we fit? Where do we fit? I'm going to get my... So I've got this on. Beautiful. Here we go. Where do we fit? See, if we don't know where we fit, we can get frustrated. Frustrated ourselves, frustrated in ministry, frustrated in serving, and we can burn out. In fact, Romans 12:11 says, to never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. But if you haven't got a good fit, you can lose your zeal, you can lose your passion, you can lose that energy. So, where do we fit? There's a couple of really good scriptures in the Bible, and if you've got your Bibles, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 31 to begin with. So, chapter 12, 12 to 31. And it says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, and some of us are free. But we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, does that make any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Could you imagine if you're all me? Oh, it'd be horrible. Or if we were all Doug, or if we were all someone else. Don't want to pick on anyone. I feel comfortable picking on you, Doug. Sorry. Where are we? Verse 14. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you, and the head can't say to the feet, I do not need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Let's let that sink in for a second. Some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honourable are those that we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honourable parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together such that the extra honour and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honoured, all the parts are glad. So if one of our parts of our members here don't feel like they fit in, it all affects all of us. All you together are Christ's body. Each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. Is this good so far? Great. So, here are some of the parts. So, first are apostles, and we will go through this. Second are prophets. Third are teachers. Then those who do miracles. Those who have the gift of healing, and those who can help others. Those who have the gift of leadership, and those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. So we're not all the same. We're not all the same. So where do we fit? 1 Peter 4, 8 to 12 says, "Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for the love covers multiple of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal and a place to stay." God has given each of you a gift from this great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ, and all glory and power to him forever. Amen. Spiritual gifts. Does everyone here know what their spiritual gifts are? Wow, great. Well, this is good. So hopefully today you can get something out of this. You know, something I was been praying about for the last couple of weeks, about what my next sermon would be in about 3 to 4 weeks, which has ended up being sooner. And what really came to mind was the equipping of the saints, or God saying he really wants people to fit. Know where they fit in the house. You know, I guess I'm very conscious, and dare I say for the older generation, that it's sometimes I feel like us young guns, I'm going to put myself as a young gun, you know, that I feel like sometimes I go, oh, well, this church is for everybody, and I worry and go, I want everyone to feel like they've got a place and know where they belong. And every generation is so important. No matter who you are, if your bum's on the seat, you're part of the family, you should have a place and you should have a fit. And I think sometimes we can look at different positions within the church with a very worldly aspect and go, well, if someone's up there talking, well, they're more important. Can I tell you that's nothing from the truth? Because I am as just as silly and stupid at times and sinful, and I've got a history like everybody else has got a history where we're not perfect. We've all made mistakes. I continually make mistakes. And it's nothing but by the grace of God that I know that I can even stand up here and share with you. Likewise, whoever gets up and sings doesn't make him any more important than the person that gets the cups ready for communion. That is a crucial, important part of the church. I mean, could you imagine if a communion, where are the cups? In fact, that's happened once before. And it was like, oh, we're just so used to them being there. through to the gardening, through to the fact that we've got vacuumed floors and probably need to go through and re-straighten the chairs one time soon because they're starting to get a bit skew-iff. But we've all got a place to be, and not one member of the body is more important than the other. It doesn't matter if you're up the front, in the back screens, or whether your fit is not even necessarily here, but things you do outside the church helping people, they're all a fit. Romans chapter 13, verse 6 to 8. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Do it gladly. Coming back to what I was chatting about at the very start about my sermon about God can use what's ever in your hand. You know, God can literally use whatever is in your hand. But not only that, God has put something in your hand. Do you know? And I think sometimes we forget that not only good God can yes, he can use you as you are, but more importantly, that when we give our life to Christ, it's not just we get saved. It's not just that our sins have been forgiven because of what Christ done on the cross. No, it's more than that. No, he equips us. He gives us a gift. He fills us with the Holy Spirit. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. And so he gives us the appropriate gifts that we need. So he gives us spiritual gifts. So from those scriptures we just read, there are a whole bunch of spiritual gifts that God can give us. So let's go through some of them. So one of the first things we can see is that God can give us a gift of leadership. See, leadership is important. And I'm not talking about necessarily a position of leadership here either. To be a leader doesn't mean you need a title to be a leader or to be over something. A leader is just purely someone that leads and people follow. You lead by example, and it could be a leadership here in this church, or it could actually be just being a leadership out in the workplace or around those that you're around and leading by example than those that want to follow you. See, leadership aids the body by leading and directing members to accomplish the goals and purposes of the church. Leadership can motivate people to work together in unity towards a common goal. You can find leadership being listed in Romans 12:8. And if God has given you leadership, it says quite clearly to take it seriously. Take that responsibility seriously. So there's leadership. There's also administration, or they also reference it as governing, which I like to think as administration, because there's some people that have a better gift of administration than others. I'm definitely not one of those people. I need help when it comes to paperwork administering. I'm not that guy. But some people have a very much a natural gift for it. And they can help us keep on track, stay on budget, keep things ticking along. Keep the background of everything organized so we have enough communion cups even to be put out in the first place. Or the fact that the lights are on a Sunday. Administration. You can find that in 1 Corinthians 12:28. Another one is teaching. Teaching is instructing the church family in the truths and doctrines of God's word for the purpose of building up, unifying, and maturing the body. That can be found in 1 Corinthians 12:28, Romans 12:7, and Ephesians 4:11. You know, I thankfully found that one out quite young because I enjoyed teaching kids in Sunday school. It was so much fun. I enjoy that ability to be able to teach. But, you know, teaching is not just from the pulpit. Teaching can be out in Sunday school. Teaching can be in just Bible studies with your friends. Teaching can just be having a conversation. I think it's too much we think teaching is just this. Someone standing at the front and someone listening. It's not that. In fact, teaching should be engaged. It should be trying to get you involved, and which is why specifically the other one with the kids, I tried to get the kids involved as much as possible because that's how they learn. There's knowledge. The gift of knowledge manifests itself in the teaching and training in discipleship. It's God's given ability to learn, know, and explain precious truth of God's word. Sometimes that knowledge, I know my wife, for example. My goodness, she's a smart lady. The way, hi honey, she's watching. The way she retains knowledge is just incredible. Does anyone have a friend like that? Or maybe you are that person that just retains knowledge? Knowledge. Wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is the gift that discerns the work of the Holy Spirit in the body and applies his teaching and actions to the needs of the body. That's 1 Corinthians 12:28. Wisdom. We need wise people, don't we? Don't we? We do. Could you imagine if we didn't? I mean, nothing would get done. The place would be a mess. We need wisdom. Prophecy. The gift of prophecy is proclaiming the word of God boldly, building up the body and leading for conviction. Prophecy manifests itself through the preaching and teaching, but also from speaking into situations where it encourages the individual. 1 Corinthians 12:10 and Romans 12:6. Discernment. My wife has a lot of discernment around my car purchases. Discernment aids the body by recognizing the truth intentions of those within or related to the body. Discernment tests the message and actions of others for protection and well-being of the body. That's a positive thing. Encouragement. Who loves encouragers? I like encouragers. You're welcome to encourage me after this message today. Encouragers possess the gift to encourage the church body, to involve people, to enthusiastically get them along, and to encourage their spiritual gift to grow. Encouragers are so important. I feel for encouragers sometimes because I feel like sometimes you can be like the opposite of what society wants. Where it's just, I feel like we're more about trying to pit, especially Australia, kind of tall poppy syndrome, bring people back down. And I kind of feel sorry that if your spiritual gift is encouragement, because society almost tells you that's the opposite of what you should be doing. But encouraging is so, so important. One of my favorite things about Pastor Vic, wasn't he an encourager? From the moment you met him at the door to the sermon, I could have just got off the stage and thought, I just prinked the stinkiest, worst message I've ever done. He goes, oh, Scott, it's a great job this morning. You know, like he was an encourager. Shepherding or pastoring. You know, I think it's too often we think a shepherder or a pastor is a position and a title, opposed to something of who you are. That person that's just always looking out and caring, making sure someone's okay. It's not limited to staff or people of position. It's not limited to a title. Faith. People can have the spiritual gift of faith. Faith trusts God to work beyond the human capabilities of people. I am so thankful for people that have big faith. Believers with the gift to encourage others to trust in God in the face of insurmountable odds. It's the ability to pray for someone and believe for that breakthrough and have faith that they will get that breakthrough, that miracle. It's an important spiritual gift. There's evangelism. Evangelism. Some people are natural evangelists. The gift, and we need evangelists. And the problem about evangelists is they can be annoying sometimes. But we need to encourage them, welcome them. I mean, they're the people that will preach the gospel and talk about Jesus to a goldfish if they just listened. I mean, we need those people in the body that are going to get out and evangelize. But we need to be also welcoming of them. Encourage them, build them up. Because they're the ones that are really good at adding new members to the church. Ephesians 4:11 has listed evangelism. Apostleship. The church sends apostles to plant churches or to go out, to motivate, to carry out the Great Commission. Service and helps. And I kind of feel like that's kind of the good one for introverts sometimes because they can hide behind and just do it in the background. But not always. Service and helps. Those are for the gifts with service that recognize practical needs in the body and joyfully give assistance to meeting those needs. See, Christians with this gift do not mind working behind the scenes. They can just get the... Who likes those people that can just kind of get the job done? See a practical... I'm a practical guy. I mean, lawns need cutting, you mow the lawns. A wall needs painting, you paint a wall. It's just simple, uncomplex. I get it. It makes sense. Some people have a very much a natural gift for that. Mercy. That ability, that spiritual gift, that ability just to be able to show God's grace and God's love for somebody, not to judge them on their outside of, but to actually take time to get to know them and show them mercy, empathizing with them. And giving. Who likes giving people? Some people just have a natural spiritual bent for giving. Members of the church that give gifts are those people that see a need and can give to it, see someone that needs a jumper and give them a jumper. Someone that can just go have on their heart that, you know, I remember once when we were living at Bridgewater, and I think I shared last week around tithes and communion how I was struggling to pay our tithes and we were going backwards financially. And when we had made a decision to move, I remember some bags of food actually just rocked up in our door. And I live at Bridgewater, so it's really hard for people from Murray Bridge to actually go past and drop food on my door when I was living there. It was amazing. But some people have that spiritual gift of giving. And one of my favourite ones is the spiritual gift of hospitality, because I love food. So those with the ability to make visitors feel welcome, guests, strangers, feel a part, feel at home and at ease. They're also the ones that are good at entertaining. The people that will give people around and come over for lunch, come over for dinner. That natural spiritual gift. So there's lots of spiritual gifts. Can I encourage, because I have covered up a lot in a very small amount of time, to go home. If you don't know your spiritual gift, you can do a quick Google. I'm sure I've said, what is my spiritual gift? You'll come up with some stuff really simple and easy. There's little quizzes you can take. Can I encourage you? Try find out what your spiritual gift is. Pray about it. Ask people. You know, ask people that know you and go, hey, what do you think my spiritual gift is? Because if you can find what that spiritual gift is, you're going to fit better. I love the attitude of people that just go, I just want to help out. I just want to serve. And so they'll plonk themselves on the door, even welcoming people, even though they might be an introvert. And it can kind of feel like you're wearing this glove that doesn't quite fit properly. But if you can slot in and fulfill the spiritual gifts that God's given you, and then use what's in your hand, you can fit like a glove. So church, this week, can I encourage you? God wants you to fit. God wants you to grow. He wants you to live a life where you know you belong. And a part of that is fitting like a glove. So can I pray for you, church? So, Father God, Lord, I just thank you. Thank you that you care about us. Thank you that you're not a harsh God. You're not an angry God, Lord. You're a God of love and mercy. You care about your people. And Father God, Lord, I just pray this morning that you help people find their fit, find where they belong, Lord. Lord, show them their spiritual gifts that you've given, because I know, Lord, you've given everybody spiritual gifts, Lord, and may they grow in abundance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with all our latest sermons. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church, or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m.